It is really a very rare opportunity that we have to be together today. And because we all know that at the moment, sometimes it is not so convenient for us to be able to meet. And there are all sorts of various reasons for this. And today, you received the empowerments of Long Life Buddha, of Tsambala, and of Purba. Term a treasure empowerment of His Holiness Lama Ajahn Rinpoche. And we really don't know how long we're going to have this life for. And so to have these empowerments and to allow them to be absorbed into our mind stream, once this has happened, they will never be lost. And this great blessing and empowerment can stay within our mind stream for as long as we are in samsara. And then when we are at a time of facing death and in the bardos, what will help us the most is the power of these empowerments, blessing, and the power or the practice that we have achieved. And this will always be within our mind stream from life to life. And even more so is if we are practicing these cutting through with instructions. And for these, even more so that we need these empowerments. Especially as we progress in the practices of the cutting through with instructions, these empowerments will really benefit our practice. And also for those people in retreat, and this is the method of His Holiness Lama Ajahn Rinpoche also. And so when everybody now has come to meet me and you have been doing these practices, now I have given you these empowerments. And we will continue step by step to improve our practices. And in terms of practice, we don't have to engage in all sorts of material concerns. What is important is that we let the practice be absorbed into our mind stream, that we recite mantras, and that we meditate, and we accumulate virtuous activities, merits, within our mind stream, and then allow the merit of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to be absorbed into our mind stream, and very quietly pray to the root guru. Practice all the practices, all the instructions you've received from Rinpoche, practice them. Let them enter into your mind stream. You don't have to go anywhere else, look anywhere else. Where else are you going to go? You have everything you need within, in terms of these pith instructions. And the pith instructions I have given you. Now go and practice. The reason why we are not improving in practice is a result of obstacles, of karma. And repent this. And repent it so it doesn't come to fruition. What happens is we think that we are doing well. We think that we are practicing properly. However, then, when the karma manifests, it shows that maybe we aren't. And this is sometimes because we're not able to see our own faults. And those students that were really diligent and really were very pure in their practice, His Holiness Lama Ajahn Rinpoche used to support them. And I used to think, why is it that His Holiness Lama Ajahn Rinpoche supports the pure students so much? And then I realized it's because they have many faults or problems still that they aren't able to see themselves, or negative karma that they're not aware of. And so really it's very important that we mustn't leave the side of our enlightened guru. And when we receive the practices of the pith instructions, then we go and report back to the guru. And the guru will see if we are practicing properly or not. And the guru will gradually bless us so that we can carry on and improve in our practices. And everybody received these empowerments today because of requests and as a result of your practice. And also everybody knows that in these current days, in the current situation, it's not appropriate or easy or suitable, convenient to give the empowerments. Really, for you all today, you have received an incredibly auspicious and wonderful blessing and empowerment. And many students have been practicing for many years and they haven't had the opportunity to receive these empowerments. And today, really, that these arising causes all came together and everything ran smoothly for you to be able to receive the empowerment. And now you must all go home and practice diligently and support virtuous activities and the Buddha Dharma. Every day that you have life, you must engage in practice and engage in positive activities. There are two aspects. The one is accumulating merit and the other is practice. So one is going out and benefiting sentient beings and engaging in these types of activities. However, also very important in our practice is that we are meditating, looking at our mind stream and transforming these afflictive emotions and practicing the path instructions that have been given to us. And if we transform these afflictive emotions, then there's a very good chance that in that moment we can recognize our true nature of mind. And once we recognize the true nature of mind, there will still be afflictions and random thoughts that are arising. And when this happens, don't be concerned, don't be worried. Just keep on practicing, moving forward. And then we will realize that our true essence is that of the true nature of mind, not afflictions. Our true nature is Buddha nature, not these afflictions. So when we are supporting Buddha nature, then all of these afflictions and random thoughts and discriminations will disappear and eventually no longer exist. So really, everybody, you must continue to practice and establish a more and more profound practice. All of these worries, concerns, afflictive emotions, discriminations, what are these? These are all the result of not practicing. Not recognizing the true nature of mind is afflictions, discrimination. All these ignorances, attachments, aversions, jealousy, arrogance. And all of these and not recognizing the true nature of mind is all still revolving around in samsara. However, once we've recognized the true nature of mind, then all of these discursive thoughts and discriminations and afflictive emotions will all in the present moment be liberated. And all of this is the merit of the true nature of mind. And abiding in the true nature of mind, just in that present moment, is the same merit as meeting 1,000 Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And all the merits of all the sentient beings does not equal just a moment of abiding in the true nature of mind. And this is what Buddha said himself. It's not me saying this. And why? Because if we save all of the sentient beings, it is still a mundane merit. While if we are abiding in the true nature of mind, this is transcending all of these mundane merits. And is directly related to liberation. It's not just a relative virtuous activity. In the present moment, empowerment is the path instruction to help us to return to the true nature of mind. So everybody, really, you must observe your mind more carefully. There's practice of transforming our mind, and then there's the practice of engaging in meritorious activities. And the practice of transforming the mind is the transforming of these discriminatory thoughts and afflictive emotions. Engaging in meritorious activities is going and doing animal liberations, butter lamp offerings, other types of offerings, helping others. And this is all the practice of merit, not the practicing of transforming our mind. The big question is that whatever we are doing, is it transforming this mind of ours, reducing these afflictive emotions? It's only through transforming our mind that we have the ability to attain liberation and to attain Buddhahood. And the purpose of all the true Dharma is to enable us to attain Buddhahood. And this is the complete meaning of the true Dharma, is to be able to help us to attain Buddhahood. And so we must purify this mind stream of ours. If we look at it, then at least 60 to 70% of all of the troubles and unhappiness we experience comes as a result of our own mind stream. Due to our afflictions, our attachments, our aversions, our anxieties, our worries, our relationships. And how do we resolve these? It isn't through the material world. This we all know now. And really, in practice, all of these problems can be resolved in just a few moments. And then if we practice, our life really has more meaning and it feels more valuable and it develops in a positive way. Positive actions bring about positive results. Irrespective of how wealthy or how poor we are, this bodhicitta of ours won't change. It doesn't matter how terrible the state of affairs are for us, we will continue developing bodhicitta. And if we support this boundless bodhicitta, then whatever we're doing within this life, it'll benefit sentient beings and it'll benefit ourselves. So everybody go home and practice well. And it's not important how you appear to be practicing. Be low-key, and most important is the actual practice. You don't have to report or speak to anybody else about your practice, just to the guru. All these external things are not important. Buddha didn't go about building temples and stupas. What Buddha did was sit and practice, purifying his own mind. So really, we are engaged in too many of these external activities. And in reality, we don't improve our practice. We're putting too much emphasis on external things and not enough emphasis on transforming and purifying our own minds. If we want to attain liberation or enlightenment, then we must place more importance on our practice. And these pith instructions and these empowerments, all of these things that will help us to attain liberation and enlightenment. And establish the foundation of practice. The suffering we've had is not just the suffering of this life. And if we gain money, fame, status, and good health, we will only have it for a few decades. And then when we leave this world, we have to leave everything behind. Think about it, the people that have been so wealthy, where have they all gone to? Where, when they passed away, what happened to all of their money? Were they able to take it with them? And we must see this very clearly. Yes, we still have to exist. We still need to live and make a living, study, work. However, if we wish to attain enlightenment or liberation, then we must place or make this what is most important in our life. We don't have to spend money to practice. We don't have to engage in all sorts of external appearances. Apply oneself in practice. Practice diligently. All the merit comes from within our mind. It doesn't come from the external world. If that was the case, not even Buddha was able to bring us merits from the external world. It must all be achieved through our own mind. This is where we attain Buddhahood. What is samsara? Samsara are these unceasing, continuous, discriminatory thoughts. And these continuous 24 hours of discriminatory thoughts are sentient beings. And if we don't transform this, then there is no way to attain enlightenment. Gradually, through our practice, being able to let all of these discriminatory thoughts, these worries, these afflictions, be liberated into the Dhammakaya, this is really practice and attaining Buddhahood. Don't give all of your liberation to your guru. If we do this, we might be very disappointed. Where does practice happen? Within our own mind. If we're not conscientious and diligent, then how is the guru going to help us? And as a result of not practicing, we are still revolving around in samsara. What we must rely on is our own diligence and conscientiousness. The second is on the teachings and guidance of the guru. What we have is the mind of sentient beings, of people, and then we add the wisdom, the compassion of the Buddha. And then we can realize this wisdom and gain these merits and attain Buddhahood, and we can do it quite easily. However, if we're lazy and we don't practice, but we just pray to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, then it's not that they don't have the merit and great blessing. The problem is that our mind is not able to keep up with them. Our mind is not able to absorb and accept their blessing and merit. Everybody practice diligently and then request for the pith instructions. To use an example, if someone falls in a deep hole and they can't get out by themselves and they cry out, help me, save me, save me. And then somebody comes and hears this and they take a rope and they let the rope down to save the person. Then what happens is the person must also be able to tie the rope around themselves so that the person above can pull him out of the hole. if they just cry and cry and they don't take the rope and they don't tie the rope to themselves, then they'll just have to stay in the hole. They won't be able to be saved. So the same is that the person with the rope is the guru and the rope is the Dharma. And so if we are wishing to be free from samsara, we have to be able to take the rope. We have to be able to practice, take the Dharma, practice the Dharma. And it is the guru that is helping us to pull us out of this samsaric pit, if you want to call it. If we don't take the help of the guru and we don't take hold of the rope, then how are we going to free ourselves from samsara? We need the pith instructions and guidance of the guru, and at the same time, we ourselves must grasp those pith instructions, the guidance, and practice it conscientiously.